Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Gal Ko. He has years of marketing and experience with digital products. He has started a number of different companies. Today, he is founder and CEO of Bold Voice and Bold PMM. And these are services that help connect B2B SaaS companies with the most relevant podcasts in their industry. Gal, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff to talk about and relevant because we're on a podcast. But let's take a step back and talk about the problem. Let's understand for everyone the problem that we're trying to capture here and that we're solving. Why businesses and podcasts?
Amazing. Okay, so in order to get to that problem, first, we have to go to a different station in my life, okay? So I was just fired from a startup, a cyber startup, cyber insurance startup. And the thing that came into my mind is that I love doing my job. I love doing product marketing and helping B2B SaaS companies. And what I found out is that I need to do it myself. If you want to do something right, do it yourself. So I've created Bold PMM. And with that, I've started doing product marketing for several companies, several industries. And all the time, we came to the struggle of which is, so mostly my clients are Israelis, okay? I also had some from the UAE and some from Australia, but mostly they are Israeli companies aspiring to go to the USA. Now, for us Israelis, it's a bit hard. We have some difficulties. And obviously, the algorithm would not work for us the same way that it does for people in the USA. So to get the company leaders and to get the company to the USA in terms of marketing, in terms of all the efforts, product-led growth, sales-led growth, all of those efforts, you have to do several things. Or first thing is to conduct campaigns and pay for it, or to post online and hope that the algorithm will get you through these tiers and get you to the USA. But I couldn't rely on hope. And marketing, you cannot rely on hope. You have to have statistics and have some playbooks. So that was the thing that led me to create Bold Voice and help B2B companies and founders to put themselves as guests at the right shows of their industry.
Then this is great stuff. And I want to make sure that the audience understands or has a really good grasp of marketing using podcasts. Okay. So the old school marketing, you have billboards, flyers, pamphlets, whatever the case may be, websites in the modern age. And the idea is that if I'm looking for something, I can see your website and find it. Or if I just come across your brand by happenstance, and I said, oh, wow, I've never thought of that need. Or, oh, that looks like a pretty cool product. And then now I'm driven to buy your product. So that's the normal marketing that we probably think about. Websites, SEO, where you're on social media saying stuff and doing stuff. Where and how does podcasting fit in this?
Amazing. That's a good question. Actually, from my experience with clients, I would say that podcasting should serve us when we already know what's the messaging of the company. We already know what it is that, what is the value that we deliver, what it is that we do for our clients, how they speak about our service. So only then, after we already know that we got the right message, we got the, let's say, message market fit, once we got the right message, we can start and harness and go in on podcasting, harness podcasting, because that is really useful in terms of statistics. 83% of the executive allocate 4 hours weekly to podcast consumption. and 68% of them using those insights they gained into strategic planning for their companies. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear podcasts and I actually change my behavior based on those shows. So it actually works. And for us, for B2B marketers to be there, it is essential.
Now you're talking about a podcast as in having a podcast show or being a podcast guest.
Being a guest on the podcast, because obviously, if you're a startup, a small startup, you're experiencing some difficulties because you already have to serve some clients to rebuild the product itself. You already got the backlog, everything that you have to do, but there is not enough time for you to actually open up your own show and create it and edit it and go and find the right audience, because it is really hard, as Thomas, you already established your audience. So it is really hard. And I don't expect any founder of a startup to also dedicate this amount of time in order to produce something. So for them, it is a no-brainer to just go on shows that already
Now,
have the industry. Yeah, already are in the industry and already have the right audience.
yeah, so let's walk through an example of a typical podcast campaign that a company has. You have a founder and they're building some software cloud tool or something, and they want a certain audience to know about it. And they already do some stuff, but then they get the bright idea, hey, I'm going to appear on people's podcasts. Let's walk through like maybe a standard kind of example.
Okay, so how I do it. So it is basically how I do it. So the first thing, in order to get my founders to the right shows, the first thing we need to do is we need to prepare some sort of a media kit, some sort of speaker profile page that I use in order to pitch with. Now, on that page, I already insert the biography, highlights, and accomplishments of the founder, latest appearance on other shows and other YouTube, let's say, videos that he's been discussing on. The podcast character could actually feel the vibe and not only know what are the rough details and the raw details. So the first thing is to actually set this profile page up. And within the profile page, the last section, I always include what are the topics that this founder is looking forward to just speak on, and what is he proficient in, and what value can he bring to your listeners? So that is the first thing to do, to actually
Okay, so
set.
yeah, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off of it, but just jump in there, just to make sure the audience understands that the you set up this kind of profile page. So there's this whole ecosystem of podcast shows out there. They all have their different topics and they overlap somewhat. And the idea is that they can look at this page and this helps them prepare for the best interview with you.
Not only best interview, it also showcases the founder as a good material for their shows. Absolutely. And once I got this profile done, the next thing I do is I actually go on and research. I sit down with the marketing officer of the company or with the founder himself and ask him, what sort of audience do you want to listen to your show? Who do you want to listen to your show? Is it, let's say, assuming chief marketing officers from Fortune 500 companies? Or are they, let's say, small to medium-sized businesses that are experiencing problem with their cyber solutions? Okay, it could be that or that. But once I know who the audience is, I already know which industry I need to look and find out podcasts in. So, for example, obviously, for that marketing for me to go on your show, that would be a no-brainer, right?
Right. Now, so give us some examples of the specific kind of concrete things that a founder gets from going on these podcasts. So there's a lot of metrics that are hard to track. There's what folks call vanity metrics, where, oh, we've got a bunch of likes on our Facebook post. 1,000 people liked it, but are they buying the product? So, what are that's a secondary issue, the ROI. But the first one is if you're a founder and you're going to do podcasts, what do you get from it? Is it mostly about the content and the clips that you're getting, or is it just exposure? What are some ways that people should think about this if they're founders thinking about doing podcasts?
Look, I would say that because podcast is something that you cannot easily do attribution to, okay? It is not something that, because mostly people can download podcast and listen to it offline, okay? You cannot actually get a hands of these metrics. So I would say that mainly the thing that founders that I've been working with are doing with those shows, they boost the brand visibility. They build some trust and credibility because they position themselves as a trusted authority. They speak on the right shows. Their logo shows up on the right shows. They create also authentic connections with the podcasters themselves. And obviously, they can repurpose for content each episode. And you can go on an episode and you can create six video six snippets of it, and it can expand your network, and it can also support sales. Now, I would say that my clients that came, the first client, actually, he bought five podcasts for one of his leaders. And after those five, after we finished, and I booked him to five shows, and they were in the top 10% of the industry, and it was amazing. So he came to me and said, "You know what? Actually had so many inbounds just because of these shows. I want to buy another seat." And that was incredible for me because it is so hard to attribute something to podcasts. And he was like, "Okay, I felt the impact." And yeah, I would say that the impact is real only because of branding.
Is there a way to make this easy for people, for the busy founders?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you mean by
And
busy
yeah, in
speaking
other words,
or?
yeah, let me put some more context in that. If you're a busy founder, you're thinking of all the things that you have to do. You say, oh, now I've got to appear on podcasts, and how many hours per week of preparation and thinking about it and doing it and getting a place. And in terms of, because I imagine that a lot of founders just want this to slot into their regular day-to-day
Calendar, yeah.
life. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, look, what I do actually, I manage the whole thing from A to Z. So, my clients just get information about the podcast that is interested on featuring them and stats on how many average listeners there are to the episode or to the podcast itself per month. And based on that, they decide if they want to continue with that specific podcast or not to continue with that specific podcast. Because what I do, actually, I guarantee five podcasts. So it's like the Tinder of podcasting. Because what I do, I just send the details of the podcast to the marketing leader or the founder, and he says yes or no. And once they say yes, I just deliver them. Obviously, I help them to create some sort of a mind map of what they should speak on, what's their call to action, what's their hook, what's their story, how can they become more known, not just stay behind the shadows and behind the company, because most people are like, yeah, I'm just the CEO, that's what I do. But there are stories behind those people. So you want to bring them forward. So I help them with that. And then they just click on a Calendly link and book a show. And that's it. So it's for their convenience.
Okay, so you streamline all of this stuff for them. So they start doing business with you, and then a lot of that stuff takes care of themselves. Do you work from the opposite end from the podcast show, trying to find more people too? Or do you mainly stick with the podcast guest trying to get on shows?
So I work mainly with the guests themselves because I have a database of almost 7 million podcasts that I use in order to find the right show. So for me to find the right show would be the easier part rather than to find the perfect guest. And yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's like two different problems that are
Yeah.
being addressed there.
But
Yeah.
it is a relationship service thing. So it's like I build relationship with those podcasts that I love and those podcasts that my clients have been on, and I can always refer people to those shows. And yeah, it's been going like that, and it's been working good.
You told one story, but do you have any others of just some of the successes of someone who starts off, they're just trying it out. And you gave the example of someone who got a big increase in incoming
Inbound,
calls
yeah.
inbound. And the Are there other stories like that can help folks imagine themselves in this?
Yeah, and your first podcast should be, I guess, would be like your first pancake. Okay. It's always when you cook pancakes, it's like the first one always burns. Okay. It always comes with an odd shape. So I would say this is why I always focus on five podcasts rather than just one, because obviously you're not going to do it perfectly the first one. So to go there and speak on several shows, on several podcasts, that is the thing that will bring impact rather than just, it's not a one hit thing.
And then what does the timeline look like for deliverable? When someone starts, when can they start? It's hard to say when someone expects results, right? It's
So,
promising too much, but
no, it's okay. I love to, some say under promise and over deliver. Okay. That is the right thing to do. So I would say that usually around 3 months, we got five podcasts booked for a leader. But anyway, it's not like we're going to stop there. Okay. My guarantee is to get you on five shows of your industry. So that is what I do. And that is what I'm going to chase for my clients. So yeah.
nice. And when you start off working with a client, is it a diagnostic that you run them through? Do you help them figure out what they need?
So I would say that because my clients are mostly after seed round or round A of fundraising, so they already know who are they speaking to, who are they wanting to speak to, who are their perfect fit and their perfect clients. So they already come with some sort of image of who is the ideal listener for me. And sometimes I bring in some of my knowledge and from my expertise as a product marketing manager and tell them, okay, so in terms of strategic placing, you would want to be on, let's say, top of the funnel podcast that only speaks about marketing, and then middle of the funnel, marketing with AI, and bottom of the funnel, latest AI that is blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So you can actually set a strategic placement for the podcasting appearance. So that is something that I find fun.
Are there different types of clients that you have that you see different types of results? Are there ideal types of business people who can expect to see more results, or that you see different patterns out there?
Yeah, so for me, only by contacting, I contact around 400 podcasts a week. So just by doing that, I get to learn the trends and what other industries are looking for in their guests for the podcast. Some podcasts actually charge some fee in order to come on their shows. So I had came to a podcast that actually only asking for $100 that they will allocate to promoting the episode after you're done with it. And other podcasts that told me, yes, I got this network around the podcast that has CMOs inside and more than 100 of the Fortune 500 CMOs. And to be on my show would be so valuable for you because those people are going to actually speak about your product afterwards. And that is why you should pay $6,000 to speak on my show. So I've came across so many different podcasts and so many industries. And I would say that obviously the marketing industry is the one that monetizes the best.
Nice. Now, this is a software show about software products largely. And so I have to ask you, do you have any software products that you are doing to facilitate your relationship with your clients, or do you just stick with the consulting model?
So what I do is some sort of a productized service. Because for my main service, doing product marketing as a service for companies, I actually created my own softwares and tools. I've created my own GPTs because most clients have the same pains. And once you know how to solve the pain for someone within the cyber industry, for example, you know how to replicate it and duplicate it and solve other cyber companies' pain. So I've created many products for myself, including the thing that I use for Bolt Voice that actually pitching my clients to the podcasts. So I would say that I'm a huge fan of a SaaS, but for me, just because I know I needed to monetize myself fast because I was out of job, I was broke, I was in between jobs, and actually that's when the war started. So I was in a different position and I knew that I have to get to money fast. So I've decided to do it as a service rather than software.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now, when I was introducing you, I said bold voice and bold PMM. Could you distinguish those for us?
Yeah, Bold PMM is product marketing as a service, and I've been doing it for a while now. If it's a launching strategy, go-to-market strategy for companies, branding, rebranding, example, that's another thing, and maybe competitive analysis, all those sales enablement tools that companies need. So that is what Bold PMM does, and Bold Voice is getting leaders to speak on podcasts from within their industries.
Awesome. Sounds like great stuff. And where can folks find you?
So they can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just say hi. I'm really friendly and I would help you with whatever it is that you're after. And they can also go to my website, boldpmm.com. And I also have a live chat there that is connected to my phone. So if you guys want to try it now, you can do it.
You're reachable. You're very reachable
Yeah, I'm
then by that.
reachable. I'm pretty reachable.
Excellent. Awesome. We've been talking to Gal Ko of Bold Voice and Bold PMM, helping to connect you with the podcast shows that you need to be on. Gal, thank you for so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I really liked it. It was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.